Hi, this is Paul from Bay Church. Thank you for joining us for this podcast. We trust it's going to allow you to live bigger, to live better, and to live bolder.
Good to be with you. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Paul. Awesome to have you here. If you're visiting for the first time and you're in George or the surrounds, I'll meet you for a cup of coffee in that little snoopy area after the service. Isn't that cool, eh? Then I can get away from the normal folk around me in front and get with the good people, the real people. Now, I'd love to connect with you, so it'll be good to meet you at the back there. We're in an interesting time. Can you believe it's December? Okay. And all I want for Christmas is a bucky. I'm just putting it out there, okay? Anyone got a spare one? Hey, I'm a South African, what can I say? And there's no Honda buck in here, not a Tupperware bucky. One with wheels and an engine, okay? Okay, let's get into this message, the morning's message. I suppose you're all wondering why you got names on. Well, that's because I can't remember your names, no. We'll get to that later. Long, long, long ago, when some of you were still young, there two people lived in absolute perfect peace in a perfect world. They were completely at one with each other, completely at one with nature, and completely at one with God. And this was the way it was supposed to be. This was the way it should have been. This was God's intent, complete unity between man and God. And then something happened that shifted the balance. Well, shifted the balance doesn't actually describe the dramatic and immediate impact of what happened that forever changed this relationship, that forever shattered any hope at that stage of this oneness between man, nature, and man, and God. It was something that we all know and something we all call sin. But what sin was it? Which specific sin? Because it wasn't murder. There wasn't anyone to murder. It wasn't like Adam cheating on Eve because there's no one to cheat on. It wasn't Eve hitting, let's not go there. She probably hit Adam more than once. It wasn't any of those things. So it had to be a sin of self. And we had this crafty devil who didn't have to entice them to do anything other than shift the focus off God onto themselves. And that is exactly what he did. He didn't have to do much. Just plant a seed that you can become like God. You can have the wisdom of God. That's all he needed to do, and Eve did the rest. And Adam stood by and watched us all unfold. He said to them, basically, I want you to focus on self instead of on God. And the sin of self destroyed everything that God had intended, the way God intended it to be. It was a very simple scheme with dramatic effect. And something that still impacts us to this day, the worship of self. And that is idolatry. You worship an idol, you've created an idol in your heart, and you worship in yourself, you're no longer focused on God. Or you're trying to focus on God, but you're putting yourself in front of God. And that's difficult to see God when you're looking through yourself. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, he's talking to the guy next to me, and the wives are thinking, he's talking to this old biffle sitting on my right here or on my left. But we're talking to you because in some degree or other, we all got one of these things. Let's see if you can relate to any of this. Stubbornness. Now, I'm sort of shooting myself in the foot here because my wife believes and sincerely believes I'm the most stubborn man to ever walk the face of the earth, okay? And she forgets all my other wonderful qualities. But do you ever say or think, well, I know better? It's sort of my way or the highway. Are you sometimes reluctant to admit that you are wrong? No one's smiling at themselves here now, but I can see some wives looking at husbands and husbands going to, talking to you, woman. Would you rather do things your way than a better way simply because someone else suggested a better way and it's not your way? Do you argue and argue just to prove your point? Do you defend yourself even when you're wrong? If you have got one or any of these, you are stubborn. You're filled with self. What about pride? It's all about me. Look at me. I'm so good. Look at me. I'm so gifted. Look at me. I'm wonderful. Look at me. I've got branded shoes. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I'm so good. I'm better. I'm filled with pride and think I and my abilities are better because I've got certain attributes, or I've got the car, or I've got the money, or I've got the clothes, or I hang out with the right people and I live in Kingswood or wherever. I'm only joking. I can see the look I'm getting from the corner there. Look, this is a meerkat. What about self-justification? Where you make excuses for yourself and you believe more about yourself than you should actually, and you justify every wrong decision or every wrong action about yourself because you battle to admit your weaknesses, so you'd rather defend your wrong behavior, or you validate yourself against a standard that you have set that makes no sense to anyone else or to society at world because you're full of yourself, so you've got to justify yourself all the time. What about arrogance? You look down on others. And I know when some people came in this morning riding a certain bike or a certain car, you were, shame. You think you're better than others. It doesn't have to be big things. I mean, you look at some people and think, huh? I see you shop at Ackerman's. Ach, shame. I had steak for dinner last night. You probably had patatsevier or whatever the case may be. And we're just sort of arrogant. We're so full of ourselves. We battle to see good in anyone or anything else. And some of us have one or more of these issues. We've all got them, and you can't be holier than thou this morning and think it's not me. It's you, because it's me, and it's you, and it's we, and it's everybody. We've all got this to some degree, because the first sin was turning the focus of God onto self, and it's the one we probably battle the most to get rid of. It's easy to get someone to stop murdering. Put them in a cell by themselves. Sorted. Okay? But to stop thinking about self is a lot deeper. It's inward, and it's a conscientious decision to alter the way you think, the way you behave, and the way you perceive, and to turn your attention from yourself onto the most holy God. That is a little bit more difficult. And we've got this whole world, we've got the society, we've got Hollywood, we've got everything geared towards teaching us focus on self. Be one with self. Everything you do is about you. The whole world wants us to look at ourselves. Psychologists will tell you, look at self, do this yourself, be strong by yourself, do everything for yourself. I went to go do some research on this whole self aspect, and I came across this from the modern age spirituality. This is what they're teaching people. It says, I will urge you to worship yourself, so that you can understand yourself more, and you will be more loving and more caring towards yourself, and will get better care of your health and your life. My goodness. And I know someone here who's got a doctorate in positive psychology, And I think even she will agree, this makes absolutely no sense. In the context it's written, worship self. Come on, people. You know what the sad thing is? We're all doing it, and we all fall for it. We all worship self. This is what we've been told. You can do it. Guess what? I believe I can do it. And I'm not saying that in a sinful or a boastful manner, but I believe I can do it. But my context is different, because I can do it through Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm taking what the world is saying and I'm bringing it into the creative order of things the way God intended it to be, and I can live like that. I like that. I love that, because that's how it was supposed to be. I, yes, but through who? Through Christ. That was the original intent of the relationship between God and man. God wants the best for you. He wants to give you the best, but it comes through Him, not through yourself. So, let's do a quick test, okay? Because basically what we want to determine is, are you focusing on self or are you focusing on God? Now I want no comments from the wives, okay? Who here is able to focus at the same time on that drum set and this cross? Try it quickly. Full attention to the drums and the cross at once. You cannot do it because you're not a chameleon. But this is how you're trying to live life. Focusing on God, but focusing on yourself as well. And imagine for a minute that you're a set of drums. We can't do it. But we're trying to go through life with two focused approach, where we should be focusing on one in order to excel in the other. And the correct order is God first. You see, when God is your priority, you then deflect or reflect what you receive from God onto others. And as soon as you focus in on God, the focus that you had on yourself sort of gets moved from here to out there. And this is what we want to happen, because this is the way we're going to change the world, when we focus on others. It says in Matthew 22, verse 6 to 30, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, being the teacher, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In other words, focus on God. And what happens when you do that? Because this is the first and the greatest commandment. When you put it into practice, you deflect or reflect what you receive and you impact others. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, it doesn't exclude you. It includes you. But now it's more inclusive of other people. So you love God. God loves you. Because He loves you, you love others. Okay? So you love others because God loves you. And when you introduce others to the love of God who loves you and enables you to love them, they start loving God, and because they love God, they love you. This is an ideal world. This is how it's supposed to be, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Okay, now I need you to focus here, not there. Because when you focus in one place, that gets all your attention. And you've been focusing on self and not enough on God. So you've given all the attention to self and not enough to God. You see, when you love God and you love others, it's a win-win situation. It goes on to say in Philippians 2 verse 3 to 4, Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Do nothing, nothing, nada, nothing out of selfish ambition. Okay? Nothing out of selfish ambition. The Bible is saying to you, in the most direct of terms, focus on God and on others. Don't put yourself first. You see, if you don't have this attitude, you're going to find it very difficult to give, and as a result, you're going to find it very difficult to receive from God or from people. And I love giving. I'll give anything away except my wife, and I won't touch her lawnmower either because she'll kill me. Okay? But the rest, I'll give away. I'll lend out. I don't have a problem. I'm not attached to material things. In fact, who wants a child? I've got one of them. Okay? But I'll give it away because I'm a giver. But I've been a very bad receiver. And you know what you do when someone wants to come and give you something? You lie to them. No, I'm okay. I don't need it. Baloney! You're lying. You do need it. Your pride keeps you from receiving because you're focused on self and not focused on God. We need to become good receivers so we can become excellent givers. And if someone wants to give you something, you say, oh, who's that baby? Thank you. I'll take that. Because I don't want to rob you of your blessing, and I want to learn to be a receiver of God's love so I can be a giver of His love and whatever else I need to give away. Because I'm more concerned about you than I am about my pride and my selfishness. My focus is on God, so I'll receive from you. And I'm leading a far better life because I can give, but I can receive as well. And that's the way God intended it to be. But then you've got to be focused on Him and not on yourself, because proud people are selfish people. Go. So who's selfish here this morning? All of you. Who's going to be selfish when you leave here? None of you. Hopefully. Otherwise I'm being paid for nothing. But I'll take that because I'm a receiver. You see, people, we want to live blessed, fruitful, and with a growing spiritual life. But then I've got to think in opposition to selfishness, and I've got to start living a life of humility. And it's, humility is not surrender, but it's definitely not self-serving either. Humility is putting God first so you can love His people better and respond to Him better. We need to learn to value others so that we can appreciate others. And the more we value them, the less we think of ourselves and the more we want to do for other people because of what God has done for you. We tend in our life to honor people above or in a position, which is right, the Bible says so. But we've got to focus on the ones below and treat them exactly the same, because they are no different to the ones who are in a position of authority. They're just in a different position of life, but they got the same value. And we need to value people not based on their appearance, not based on their income, not based on where they live. Based on the fact that they created in the image of God, and Jesus loves them. We need to find value in people and not treat them according to the circumstance or our standard of what is acceptable anymore. We need to stop all of that, and we need to just start loving, and loving in equal measure. And what a time to start. When we start in Christmas, the spirit of giving and of receiving, because we received first from above, so we're able to give. In Philippians 2, it explains how Jesus served us, loved us. You need to go read Philippians 2, make a study of it. You know where it all started? He humbled himself. He humbled himself for you. And do you think you were worth it? Well, he did. And he thought every other person was worth it as well. So who are we to make judgments on them if he humbled himself for them? Now, I also want to be very honest with you this morning because, you know, loving other people and giving to other people and serving other people and all this stuff, it's rather a bumpy road, okay? And as some of you will know, sometimes you're going to get used because people are focused on self, but you don't have to be. Sometimes you feel abused because some people are going to take anything that you're willing to give and they won't be grateful for it either. Sometimes you're just going to get despondent and think, why are people like this? Well, you were like that not too long ago. You see, we're going to hit the wall sometimes with some people, but every once in a while you're going to have a breakthrough and the love of Christ will shine through in that situation, into that person, into your life, and it's those moments we live for. Those are our wins, those are our glory moments, those are the things we strive for when our life has made an impact. And not every connection you're going to have is you're going to get the right reaction. But if you don't try, you're never going to have any sort of reaction. I'd rather be living a hit and miss life, hit once in a while and miss every now and again, than just missing out on life all the time because I'm living for self. Just on the win, last week, I forgot about this awesome testimony. Remember when Quentin was up here and he spoke to us and he prayed afterwards? Well, one of the ladies had been battling with extreme pain in her hips and was battling to get up in the mornings. And I'm saying to you, well, that's you're old. But and I say that in love because I know her really well. But she was really in pain and really battled. And Monday morning, she like got out of bed and was walking around and realized, but something's different. I've got no more pain. And it's 1 week later and still no pain. So praise God for that. Let's give God a hand. Look, thank you. Amen. So, how do we change? Because ultimately, we want to change. Everyone want to change? Go. Kathleen, you want to change? Go. Johan? Johan wants to change. He's from Stillby. He wants to change. Go. Moi, Chris, you want to change? Amen, brother. You're going to have a chance now to change. So, how do we change our selfishness? I want to use two very powerful words, and if you listen carefully, it will solve the world's problems in a simple phrase, and it is this. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Stop it! Just stop. You now know better. You've heard from the Word of God, do nothing from vain conceit or from selfish ambition. So just apply it. We need to stop it. So how do we stop it? We've got to process our mind. You see, our hearts are going to be changed today because you're going to walk out here, woo, my pastor was on fire this morning and I hear this and lekker, my heart's on fire. And you're going to get out there and someone's going to challenge you and put yourself first because your mind hasn't followed your heart. That's why it says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We've got to renew your mind. So we've got to teach you to think differently. So if you think differently, you will do differently and you will become a different person. So first thing I would do, now this is just me, I would learn to serve. Okay? And we're not going to ask you to wash feet like Jesus did in Matthew 25, because that's just like a classic example. He took off his robes. He took off his status symbol. This said he was a teacher. This said who he was. He took it off and he wrapped a towel around him and he bent at his disciples' feet and said, you know what? You are worth me serving. And he washed their feet. We're not expecting you to wash feet. It's uncomfortable. I know that. Okay? But why don't you look for opportunities to serve other people? Why don't you start in children's church? Okay? Why don't you find somewhere to serve in here? Yeah, it's safe. It's comfortable. Why don't you just look for opportunities to love on others? Why don't you carry someone's groceries to the car? Why don't you help someone across the road? Why don't you just look for opportunities where you can serve mankind? And be kind to man. then your heart will change. Maybe you want to go on an outreach. That will your cage when you see how some people actually live and how much they need. Secondly, I would start giving. And giving means you're saying no to self and yes to something else. Okay? Because for argument's sake, say now when the helmet came past, you put in 50 rand. Okay? You said, Lord, I'm saying no to me and I'm saying yes to you. I'm saying no to the ice cream I would have had after church with this 50 rand, and I'm saying you, Lord, are more important than me, so I'm giving to you. If you give someone something, you're saying yes to them and you're saying no to self, because you're robbing yourself of opportunity to enjoy the fruit of that money. And it could be time, it could be anything. But learn to be givers, and then you will see how much you receive because you give. And we're talking about receiving gratefulness, love, and ultimately the love of God as well. And you know why that verse says you must be a cheerful giver? Because I mean, I've stood up here and I've watched some of you in the offering. It's like, yes, man, I'm okay, mate. You must be a cheerful giver because there must be no reluctance in your heart, because you're giving to honor God. Okay? You mustn't think, oh, I could have used this and there goes my biltong money and, ach, yes, but I just need to get these people off my back. You give because you want to glorify God. You believe in God. You believe in the mission of the place where God has put you. So you give willingly and not reluctantly. And then thirdly, I would learn to forgive. You see, when you forgive, that is humility in action, because you're putting other people first. It shows the Lord and the world that you're willing to put other people before your hurt or whatever you suffered during the act that you bear unforgiveness for. And forgiveness does not mean you're weak. It does not mean you got no backbone. It means you're one of the most courageous people walking the face of this earth, because you're willing to acknowledge that you need God and that that person is not worth taking up your time or the space that God should be occupying in your life. You know, the sad thing is it's almost Christmas. And you know how many people are going into another Christmas? Some of you will be even sitting around the same table with people that you haven't forgiven. And it's a barrier between you and them, but it's a barrier between you and God. Isn't it time that we have at least one Christmas that we're in the freedom of Christ? Because I've put myself aside and I've put other people before God, and you've come before God and you say, Lord, I know this is difficult and I've battled with this. I know, Lord, I've said I can't forget. I know, Lord, I've said I can't forgive, but today I'm asking you, Father, to help me with this. No longer I, but we, Lord. How do you help me to forgive and ultimately to forget over time, Lord? Put other people first. Put God first. Forgive them. You're going to grow out of it. You're going to receive the grace and the peace that comes with forgiveness. They ultimately might never even know. They probably won't ever change. But it's not about them. It's about God, because you're actually saying, God, I'm putting you first. They're consuming me. And it should be you, Lord. Should always be you. And then, I touched on this, we need to honor other people. Not only those above us, but those around us. The Bible has a list of who we should honor. And I wrote here, honor is the action of considering the worth in another person because of either position or simply because they have value. Is anyone here less than me? No. Is anyone out there less than me? And no one in here is less than you, and no one out there is less than you either. We all have equal value in God's eyes. Let's learn to stop being judgmental, stop being condescending, stop looking down on people, and start honoring people because they've got value in the eyes of the Lord. So based on what you've heard this morning, okay, and I'm going to ask those beautiful people who graced the presence of the stage before to please come forward, okay, based on what you've heard this morning, I make the assumption that you realize selfishness is a sin and you've been too focused on you. Is that a correct assumption? Can I also make the assumption you would like to change? You would like to focus more on God and less on self? Cool. The relational challenges that we all face are because of how we think, and as a result, how we treat others and how we then respond to others. And we can't change anything unless we change our focus. You could not focus on the drums and on the cross. And you cannot focus on God and yourself. Selflessness is the art of living how God intended it to be. Selflessness, putting others first, putting God first, is the art of living life the way God intended it to be. It demands that you live for His name and not for your fame. You, this morning, are standing at a crossroads. And like it says in Jeremiah 6:16, stand at the crossroads and ask. Ask where the good way is. Ask for the ancient paths and walk in it, for there you will find rest for your soul. You got a choice this morning. Am I going to continue to focus on me, or am I going to focus on God so that I can live an enriched life the way God intended it to be? You got an opportunity to make a choice. You got to take an opportunity this morning to say it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me, and I'm turning my focus from self to God, and I'm going to put Him first.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you want any more info, please feel free to visit our website www.bchurch.co.za or connect with us on Facebook at Bikers Church Gardenerette.